Looking at the final commandment tonight, Exodus chapter 20. The sin nobody will admit to, somebody said. The sin no one will admit to. It's certainly not the most coveted of the commandments. Have you studied the Ten Commandments enough to have the question, could there be an 11th besides the one that Jesus brought out? Did he cover all of the bases, in other words? I think he pretty well did, didn't he? And this one here, this final one, is one that, as I said, doesn't seem like anybody, too many people anyway, are willing to admit to. Let's take a look at it this evening. Exodus chapter 20, verse number 17. Would you bow your head with me as we seek the Lord's special anointing and help tonight? Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, I pray for your divine touch. I pray for your anointing. It makes it effective. The preaching of your word is more than just simply somebody standing up and speaking some words. But Father, we need your anointing tonight, anointing of the Holy Spirit. Give us a focus, give us strength, give us what we need this evening. In this part of the service, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's manservant. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's maidservant. Oh, I guess he cut out that little phrase already, didn't he? Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's ox, or his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Thou shalt not. We've shortened it to thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not covet. As we look at this, we can pretty much generally see that this commandment represents a shift away from the actions into the realm of the attitude. The other commandments have to do with action. This one here is seated completely in attitude, although the other ones can begin in attitude. While breaking all the rest of the commandments has its origin in the heart and the mind of man, or in the heart and the mind of an individual, they find their ultimate expression in some type of a physical activity. But this commandment seems to be different. When you think about somebody lying or stealing or committing adultery or murder or disobedient to parents or taking God's name in vain or creating and making a graven image and worshiping another god, there seems to be some evidence to that, but it takes a while for covetousness to make its way outwardly to where the evidence, or there's the result of it. This specific sin is rarely, if ever, confessed and owned up to. All of the commandments, all of the other commandments listed, this is probably the one that's most often broken, and the one that is the most readily, that is most common cause in breaking the other nine? Most common cause in breaking the other nine. Story's been told, I don't know if it's true or not. Abraham Lincoln was seen walking with his two sons, and both of the boys were crying. A passerby asked the president what was wrong with his boys, and he responded, exactly what's wrong with the whole world. He said, I have three walnuts, and each boy wants two. Another story has been told. On the night of November 16, 1930, Mrs. Henrietta Garrett, a lonely 81-year-old widow, died in her home in Philadelphia and unwillingly started the most fantastic case of inheritance litigations in history. She had failed to leave a will, or no will was found, to her $17 million estate, a mystery still unsolved. She had expertly handled her financial affairs since her husband's death in 1895. And therefore, many felt that she must have realized that without a will, her fortune would become involved in legal battles. And although Mrs. Garrett, at the time of her death, had only one known relative, a second cousin, and less than a dozen friends, attempts to prove relationship to her and claim a part of her estate was made by, listen to these numbers, was made by more than 26,000 people from 47 states and 29 foreign countries, represented by more than 3,000 lawyers. In their efforts to obtain her estate, there were those that committed perjury, faked family records, changed their own names, altered data in family Bibles, concocted absurd tales of illegitimacy, and as a result, 12 were confined, 10 received jail sentences, 2 committed suicide, 3 were murdered. I wonder how many would have admitted that they were guilty of covetousness. Guilty of covetousness. Wanting to have something that belonged to somebody else was not rightfully theirs. Perhaps if we were honest, at least many people, if they were honest, would have to admit that there's been at least a measure of a covetous heart within the heart or within the life of a lot of people. Now, you really can't read the Bible. You can't go very far in the Bible without finding incident after incident where people, individuals, wanted that which wasn't theirs. Oh my, we see it all around us today too as well, don't we? But maybe nothing's standing out in your mind from the scriptures, so let's go back to the very beginning into the Garden of Eden, and Eve coveted the forbidden fruit. She coveted the forbidden fruit. And in doing so, she brought sin and death into the whole world. We can jump ahead to the little incident where Israel, where the Israelite people were to go and fight in the little community or the little town called Ai. You know the story that's behind that little inference, don't you? A man by the name of Achan coveted gold, silver, and expensive garments. And because he coveted and he acted on that covetous heart, that covetous thought, because he acted on it, he brought about a tremendous defeat, a great defeat to a nation as well as to death to himself and to his family. Covetous. You remember the story of King Ahab. It'd be nice to somebody sing that special song again about King Ahab, pouting, Ahab wanted Naboth's vineyard, and he pouted about it. And ultimately, we see that the result of that was that there was murder that had taken place so that he could obtain what belonged to another. Covetous. David, King David, coveted Bathsheba. She was Uriah's wife. Do you know the end result of that story? Death, heartache, grief. So much trouble that came from that covetous thought and that covetous deed. Come over into the New Testament and you'll see a man by the name of Judas. We know him as Judas Iscariot, and he, from his covetous heart, ended up betraying his Lord. And he couldn't even keep the money that he so longed for, that his heart was reaching for. He couldn't even bring himself to keep it. And then his life, he ended his life. Why? Because he coveted. What about Ananias and Sapphira? They lied to the Holy Ghost and because they were covetous. Death and sadness and grief came from that. Paul the Apostle speaks about the thought of covetousness in Romans chapter 7 and verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law said, thou shalt not covet. Paul brings it out very clearly in the New Testament about this covetous nature, this covetous point in a person's heart. Covetousness has long been a problem as long as man has been in the world. And even in these days in which we live, men, people, still want that which isn't theirs. No, they can try to justify, they can try to argue that this belongs to, but they have to go through some pretty rigid hoops to be able to get to that point of justifying. And it all comes back to wanting something that really doesn't belong to them. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse number 1, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous. Boy, he nails it right out here. Why didn't he put boastful, proud, or boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy? Why didn't he mention all of those and then do like the Ten Commandments and put it at the end? That's a question you'll have to ask God when you get there and just to see him, because I don't know why. But maybe why is because Paul recognized the necessity of putting it first and foremost, to bring it up to the surface, to bring it out into the public view and mention it right off the bat. Lovers of their own selves, covetous. Now, there's a comma between the two of them, so there's two separate things, but they really go hand in hand, or at least hand in glove. Covetous. Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Covetousness. Thou shalt not covet. Anybody want to admit tonight that they have had a spirit or a thought or an attitude of coveting, of wanting something that didn't belong to them? Covetousness diseases all of life. It makes us greedy of gain. When we are possessed of a covetous heart, I don't have to say this. I'm sure that all of us that have any common sense or any knowledge at all, we understand that this, when a person has a covetous heart, that person is never satisfied with what they have. They want more. There will always be an urge, a powerful urge for more. It may be interesting right here to note that the word covet means to desire greatly. Maybe I should have brought that out at the very beginning, but it kind of fits right here as well. To desire greatly. Did you hear about the man that wanted to be like all of his friends and owning a nicer, bigger home? And all of his friends that had bought bigger homes than his, and he felt inferior to that. So he decided one time to put his house on the market. And so he put it in the hands of a realtor, and he sat back waiting for it to sell. And in the meantime, he was looking for another house that he could purchase when that one sold. And so he's going through all the house ads, all the real estate ads. And he comes across one, and he said, "Well, that looks good. That sounds good." And so he called the realtor and said, "I'd like to visit. I'd like to see this particular house." And the realtor said, "Well, sir, that's yours. That's the one you're selling." I don't know if it's true or not, but it sure brings out a point of us not being satisfied with what we have. The grass seems to be always greener on the other side of the fence. You know, country folk know why. That's, you know, we understand that. All of us should understand that the reason why it's greener on the other side of the fence is because we're fertilizing the other side rather than on our side. If I could only get that, I would be happy. If I could only have this much money in the bank or in a CD or in some kind of an, if my investments will reach this point, then that I'll be satisfied. But it never happens, because the more we have, the more we want. Humans, fallen humanity by nature, are greedy and self-centered. You say, "Well, no, that's not me." Well, hold up. Maybe it is you if you were to look at yourself truly in the mirror. By nature. Now grace has taken charge. Grace has changed the world you're living in, I'm living in. Thank God for that. But if we're honest, then we would probably be able to see that covetous heart at some point before grace. The attitude of the covetous heart poisons life and creates a sourness of heart and a bitterness of disposition. The covetous person is never content. They are always reaching for more. The covetousness of the heart diseases all of life. It makes us greedy of gain. It makes us greedy of another's wealth as well. According to this particular verse here in Exodus chapter 20, a covetous heart may cause you to go after things that are not yours to even go after. Now, this verse tells us that men, that humanity, covet property, they covet people, they covet possessions. And God is telling the Israelites, yea, he's telling his followers, thou shalt not covet what belongs to somebody else. That doesn't mean that you can't like what somebody else has and admire. Thank God that they're able to have that. That's a beautiful home. That's a beautiful property. That's a beautiful vehicle. That's a beautiful tractor. That's whatever. That's a beautiful cow. That That doesn't mean that you can't admire what some and thank God with them for what they have. It's the idea that I want that cow, or I want that tractor, theirs, that belongs to them. You see, it's wrong to covet. In this verse, it mentions a neighbor's house. We could say that's property. And I'm told that in Oriental cultures, it is not considered wrong to take things that are found to be abandoned. What do you know of a place that's abandoned? There was a catty corner to the property, the church property there in Evansville. There was an abandoned house. It was abandoned the entire time we lived there. It became a cat manufacturing facility. I don't know if it was set up as a cat lab and they were cloning them inside that vacant building. It just seemed like cats crawled out of that place. And if you know me, you know I have a tremendous feeling about cats. Didn't say one way or the other. But it was, I wish that I could have taken, if I'd have known about this Oriental culture thing, I might have tried it down there, but it probably wouldn't have worked. But you know, the reality of it is that if we know that something belongs to another person, we are to leave it alone, including cats. As a matter of fact, let me just go on another step. Because I need it. Maybe you don't need it, but I need it. It is wrong. It is wrong for me to covet what belongs to somebody else. But not only is it wrong for me to covet what belongs to somebody else, Jesus tells us that we are to go so far as to protect what belongs to somebody else. We are to do what we can to protect what belongs to somebody else. Boy, let me go even so much further to say that we are to go so far to protect what belongs to somebody else as if it was our own. Not to take possession of it, but protect it for their benefit as we would protect it if it was ours, if it was mine. Boy. Not everything is illegal to do, but some things are definitely unethical to do. In light of Scripture, and this one here specifically, covetous, theft. It's wrong to covet property. It's wrong to covet people. You say, well, what in the world are you talking about? Well, I can assure you tonight that there are a lot of instances, even in the church at large. Make sure I understand that I'm talking about the church at large, but it does not mean that it couldn't happen here, but somebody wanting somebody else's spouse. There, I said it. And do you know how people go about trying to get somebody else? It's smooth moves quite often. It's smooth ways. It begins innocent enough that other man's wife is pretty, that other man's or that other woman's husband is handsome, and I haven't committed any sin at such a point. But when I begin to have desires to possess that one or to have that one, I'm guilty of adultery and covetousness. You know, David resorted to lying and murder so that he could possess Bathsheba. It's wrong to covet property. It's wrong to covet people. It's wrong to covet possessions. Possessions, that could fall into the list underneath that could include servants and animals and anything that belongs to that neighbor. Guilty of covetousness. When we possess a covetous heart, we've stopped in our trusting the Lord to meet our needs, and instead have begun to acquire the things that belong to another person. We're no longer trusting God for the meeting of our needs. And that in itself, the thought of that in itself can ruin an individual's life where they are no longer trusting God. Maybe you've heard about the ancient city of Pompeii. 79 AD, is that when it was? That it was swallowed up with a volcano. I'm not talking about the movie. I didn't even know there was a movie. Until, I guess it's fairly recent anyway. 20,000 people died during the eruption of Mount Vesuvius. And archaeologists, it's become quite a well-known archaeological site. And they have uncovered bodies of many of the dead. And among them, they found some well-preserved people, bodies of people who were caught totally off guard by the explosion of this powerful volcano. Some of these people that they've been able to uncover are seated at their table. Food still evident on the table that they were sitting there eating. Others were found in their bed sleeping. One man and one woman apparently in a home, maybe it stands out in this particular instance that they were uncovered in this archaeological dig, and they were both found in the home, and one of them was sitting on the bed with money and jewels and grandeur all around them, and the other one had money and jewels in their hands trying to gather it all up to get away. Really don't know exactly what all was going on, but thousands of dollars worth of precious things, clutching, risking their lives in order to save a little bit of vanity, which now belongs to somebody else. Covetousness diseases all of life. Covetousness will lead people to break God's other laws. It'll lead people to disregard other laws. Covetousness may be the last one of the Ten Commandments, but it can cause a person to break any and all of the previous nine. Let's just take as quick as possible of a stroll through those first nine commandments and see how a covetous heart can lead us to break them. First of all, verse number 3, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." How many have placed money and possessions ahead of God? Why? Because their heart is covetous. They want, they desire strongly. The next commandment, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above. Thou shalt not bow down." That commandment goes on. "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven..." How many have bowed themselves to the altars of possessions, materialisms, greed? And in the process of bowing to those altars of materialism and possessions and greed, material things all around them, they have refused in their heart to bow at the altar of God. We can see that. You can see that. It may be easier to see it in somebody else than what we can see it in ourselves, though. "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." How many have blasphemed the Lord's name in their efforts to acquire things? Maybe that's why... That's why the vocabulary of the common American, maybe even it's around the world, has degraded and has gone downhill so much in the last few years, is because they are blaspheming the Lord's name and it's coming out of a covetous, they want to appease, and because it's coming out of a covetous heart. You know, can you see it, or am I off base? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Many have desecrated the Lord's day in an effort to make money. Many people that would work on the Lord's day, they don't do it out of necessity. They do it out of greed, out of gain, wanting to gain, needing that. I want that. Honor thy father and thy mother. Or did I miss one? Desecrating the Lord's day. Oh, I went to that, didn't I? Honor thy father and thy mother. There's a lot of people, a lot of parents who are treated poorly. It's been bothering me. Maybe my wife knows it's been bothering me. I haven't been to see my mom in so long. I'm going to have to disappear one of these days. And I don't think it's bothering me because of what I'm preaching. I just think it's bothering me because it needs to bother me. But there's so many parents who are treated poorly and cast aside. You know, I'm dealing with it on another level, on another front. You've heard a little bit about it. It's heartbreaking. It's heartrending. It's a tragedy in our circles, in our worldly circles. And too often it penetrates and infiltrates into the church realm too. Parents are treated poorly and cast aside. They become a financial burden to some. And neglect. And I know that I live the furthest away of any of my siblings, and I just have to thank God for my oldest brother who's right there to help with mom, take care of mom. But what about it? What about a covetousness so that our parents are treated poorly? Verse number 13, thou shalt not kill. That's one, isn't it? Many people are dead tonight because someone wanted that which belonged to another, and so death was the only way for them to achieve what they wanted or to receive what they wanted. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Many marriages are in shambles because people have been caught up in increasing their salt, somebody said, and they've neglected their sugar. So caught up in increasing their salt that they have neglected their sugar. So many men, so many women have been turned, had their head turned away because of some sweet-talking, covetous individual. Either side. It's not just men doing it to women. It could be the other way around. It really can. And when that happens, it destroys. It is wrecking and ruining. If I had time tonight, I could lay out almost a step-by-step process of somebody that comes to my mind. And it started with that smooth, smooth, sweet tongue of giving kindness and words to another individual and began to draw their attention and bring them and pull them and it's devastating. So caught up in increasing their salt, they have neglected their sugar. Thou shalt not steal. It probably goes without saying tonight, but stealing is the end result of a covetous spirit that has gone too far. Stealing, taking something that isn't theirs. And the next one is, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And how often do people tell a lie on another individual or spread gossip that can destroy their lives because perhaps they are simply envious of what that person has, jealous of what that person has. And so because of that envious nature, that envious heart and that jealous spirit, it creates a covetousness within them, or the covetousness creates the envy and the jealousy, and it begins to destroy because somebody's telling a lie about another individual. Covetous spirit is plain, simple. It's wicked and sinful before the Lord. Perhaps that is why the Lord gave such clear warnings against it. Take heed. Beware of covetousness. The psalmist said in Psalm 10, verse 3, "For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire and blesseth the covetous." The wicked boasteth of his heart's desire and blesseth the covetous. But God records in the final phrase of that verse, whom the Lord, all capitals, Jehovah God, he abhors. The King James has that word in abhors. That sounds like it's a pretty strong word, don't you think? He abhors covetousness. It's not just a little something to pat on the back and say, well, you need to straighten up here a little bit, or just, you know, a little wrist slap or something like that. He abhors it. It's terrible. It's an abomination. It's one of the commandments. Oh, there we go. That's simple enough, isn't it? It diseases all of life. It disregards God's law. We can never be faithful to the Lord as long as we are consumed by other things in life. Did you hear that? We can never be fully faithful to the Lord as long as we are consumed by other things in life. Jesus must fill our vision, and until he does, everything else in life will be out of balance. It will be out of balance. Once upon a time, there was a maid of a certain wealthy man. He was descending the stairs in his house one day, and he overheard the little girl saying, "Oh, if I just had $5, I would be so contented." Wondering what would happen, the wealthy man pulled out a $5 bill from his wallet, and as he passed by the little girl, he handed it to her. And she stammered a thank you out to him, and the man walked on out of the room. But as he left and just passed, before he passed out of earshot, he heard her mutter in disgust, Why didn't I ask for 10? Haven't we done that? Maybe I shouldn't go there. You're trying to buy something, and they're wanting 1,000, and you're wanting to give 800. And so you offer 800, and they say, "Oh yeah, that's fine." And then you wish that, "Well, I should have asked 6." And said, "Would you be happy with?" Some of you are looking downcast. Now that doesn't mean you're covetous, but you know what I'm saying. I mean, you understand the spirit of that. I've done that before. Maybe you've heard the story a number of years ago, the court battle over the $1 million Pepsi cap. You remember when they had Pepsi caps with little things inside that you could win stuff, you know, win money or something? There was a woman in the office that left her Pepsi bottle behind when she left the job for the day, and apparently she didn't want it. Maybe she just forgot to discard it. But a coworker, however, saw that Pepsi bottle sitting there and asked everybody else that was around who it belonged to, and nobody knew who it belonged to, and so she went to throw it away, but before she did, she took the cap off, and lo and behold, it was the $1 million cap. The woman that left the bottle behind suddenly realized that that bottle was valuable to her. Somebody, I think the story goes on to say that the woman that left the bottle behind was a covetous person, but maybe the lawsuit happened because there were two people that were covetous, not willing to share. Even if they split it 50-50, they had more than what they had before. You know, it's amazing what all we can get into in the way of relationships with people when we want something. When we want something. And it would come back boiling down to the covetousness of my heart. I want, I will have. Our problem is not that we have too little, nor is it that we possess too much. At the heart of covetousness, we find that we want more than we need. It's not that we have too little, or even so much that we have too much, but that at the heart of covetousness, we find that we want more than we need. Epicurus has written, if you want to make a man happy, if you want to make a person happy, add not to his possessions, but take away from his desires. Minimize the desire, the covetousness, the potential covetousness of the heart is founded, is based in our desire. If you want to make a person happy, add not to his possessions, but take away from his desires. Thou shalt not covet. Let's stand together. And thus we conclude the Ten Commandments. God help us to keep them in front of us. Trust you have a good week this week. Tell somebody about Jesus. Let them know about the cross. Witness to them. Testify to them. Share the love of Christ with somebody else. Ask the Lord to open up opportunities. And I believe that you'll find there will be opportunities coming. God, help us to share the love of Christ to those that are around us. Amen. Praise God. Is every heart clear this evening? All right. Ben Bridges, would you dismiss us in prayer?